Thank you so much. That's probably right now, the hymn we sang is probably my favorite hymn right now, and that song is one of my favorites as well, so wonderful. 1 Peter chapter number 3, if you would please. 1 Peter chapter number 3. The storm is about at Greenville, so hopefully we can get this done and be headed home before it gets to us, which would be nice with this roof, right? Please be careful today as you spend the rest of the day there. Men, I want you to know that this day was not necessarily planned to just hammer you and hammer you and hammer you, but that's kind of how it's working out, isn't it? dealt with Marathon Faith this morning and talked about having those family devotions, and that's really the men. And then we talked about leadership in our Sunday school lesson, and now we're going to deal with you again. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." It's a powerful verse. It's a brief verse, but there's a lot there for us. It's a verse that honestly, from a human standpoint, is impossible for us to completely fulfill. God gives us a tall order, just as He gave the wives a tall order in verses 1 through 6. Men, we're not to ride roughshod over our wives, bossing and bullying them, ordering them around and letting them do the quote-unquote heavy work beyond their strength, or making unreasonable demands upon them. We're to dwell with them according to knowledge. We're to give honor unto them. One-third of American women today are subjects of abuse. One-third. That's what's actually reported. Jeff Crippen and Anna Wood, in their book, A Cry for Justice, How the Evil of Domestic Abuse Hides in Your Church, makes this statement. Abuse, then, is a mentality of entitlement and superiority in which an abuser uses various tactics to obtain and enforce unjustified power and control over another person. Men, we're to never use the authority that God has given us to be abusive to the ladies He's placed in our lives. And this certainly, abuse would be far from the passage that God's laid before us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. And simply put, I think we need to see tonight or this morning that you must treat your wife as the prized possession she is to be right with God. We're going to see this morning, first off, the habitation. Then we're going to see the honor. Then we'll look at the being heirs together. And then lastly, we'll look at a hindrance that God talks about from this passage of Scripture. Father, we pray that this morning that you'd give us wisdom to make application where it's needed. Pray that our men's heart will be challenged by this. And pray that we would be the types of husbands that you want us to be for your glory. And we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. As we look here, first off, what the Bible says, the habitation. He starts out the verse that says, dwell with them. The word means to dwell together, but it also can have an idea of an intimate relationship. The word can carry both of those ideas. And it says we're to dwell according to knowledge. That is, understanding. That is, we can carry the idea of a moral wisdom and a right living with those that we're living with. The word points out that husbands should understand and be considerate of their wives' spiritual, emotional, and physical needs, as one author said. Dwelling with them according to knowledge. Men, I want to tell you that that's a tall task. Because most ladies don't understand themselves. You can laugh at that, ladies. It's okay. And then we're tasked to understanding them. And here's part of the problem. Is what you understood on Monday may not be true on Tuesday, right? And what she used to like, she may not like anymore, right? Chocolate might have been the thing, but now she may not like chocolate. You say, well, is that all it's talking about, just learning what her favorite gift is and her favorite color? No, but that's part of it. This word knowledge is all-encompassing, really, in a lot of things. Matter of fact, dwelling with her according to knowledge means I don't make fun of the differences in us. Matter of fact, we should celebrate the differences. I'm glad she's not like me. Aren't you glad your wife's not like you, men? I mean, hello. That would be pretty boring in lots of ways. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, and the Lord said, God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. If we took the Hebrew words and translated it, it was like God looked at us and said, you are a mess and you need help. That's not a literal interpretation, but that's pretty close, men, most of us, right? She is the completer. She brings all kinds of things to the relationship. I'm amazed at guys who want their wives to think like them. God didn't want you to have a wife that thinks like you. She wanted her to think a little bit different so you could maybe see something of where you're not at. There's times when I'll say something and my wife will say, well, couldn't it mean this? And I'm like, well, I guess it could mean that. I'd never thought about it that way. I remember one time we were driving home from church one night, and someone, and I don't remember who you are, but someone had had a headache on Sunday at Miss Church, and I asked her on Wednesday night, hey, I didn't see so-and-so at church, and they're like, she said, well, they had a headache, and I said, oh, wow. I said, they've had a headache from Sunday to Wednesday? And she said, how come they had to have a headache from Sunday to Wednesday? Why couldn't they have had a headache Sunday and Wednesday? And I'm like, I guess that's true. They could have had a headache Sunday and Wednesday. Now, those are little things, but they're going to think different about things. They see the world differently. Sometimes drastically differently, right? And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. I lead her spiritually. Dwelling with her according to knowledge means I lead her spiritually. I pray with her. I pray for her. I answer her questions. I encourage her time in God's Word. This may mean that I keep the kids so she can have a quiet time with God in the morning. It may mean I actually get the breakfast for the kids so that she can finish her quiet time for the rest of the day. See, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. To love her sacrificially. A book entitled Highly Happy Marriages makes this statement. Highly happy couples tend to put God at the center of their marriage and focus on Him rather than on their marriage or spouse for fulfillment and happiness. When we put God at the center of everything we do and we make sure she's growing spiritually as the leader, then we're going to be happy in our marriage. Dwelling with her according to knowledge means I am more concerned about what she needs than what I need. That means I may take some walks in a mall, shopping. Huh? It may mean I take her to a coffee shop. May mean I take her for a walk or actually talk to her or listen to her talk. Right? It's awful quiet in here this morning, guys. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You're like, well, why don't you tell her to listen to me? I dealt with her last week. I'm dealing with you this week. Dwelling with her according to knowledge means I understand that certain times are harder emotionally than others. And I'm more patient and loving during these times. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Dwelling with her according to knowledge means, excuse me, I bring her stability. A double-minded man is unstable. He's inconsistent, restless in all his ways. I bring her stability, except for the 30 times she wants to move that piece of furniture around. That's not the kind of stability I'm talking about. You men are chuckling because you've moved furniture from place to place, right? And then you go, I don't think that's where I want that. Let's move it back over here. That's dwelling with her according to knowledge. Dwelling with her according to knowledge means I meet her intimate needs before mine. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4, the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his body, but the wife. So how is your knowledge of your wife? Your wife. What does she like and dislike? What communicates to her? Well, she knew I was this way when she married me. That is a great attitude to have. I'd like you to try that with your boss. You knew I didn't know nothing about this job when I married you. When you hired me, I'll get it right in a minute. Sometimes you feel like your work is a marriage, right? I spend more time there than I do with her. What if you said that to your boss? I'm not interested in growing at this company. I'm interested in doing things. You knew I was dumb when you hired me, so that's just, you know, that wouldn't work, would it? I don't think so. How are you applying that knowledge on a day-by-day basis to her? Okay, give you one example, and don't throw rocks at me, okay? I don't think, and this is dwelling with my wife according to knowledge, so all you people are going to scowl at me. I don't think I've ever watched Pastor and Mrs. Surratt get out of a vehicle in which Pastor has not opened her door. I don't think I've ever seen that. I've been with them almost 24 years, okay? But can I tell you something? My wife doesn't particularly want me to open her door. Man, it's quiet in here. I'm dwelling with her according to knowledge. Oh, by the way, if we're on a special date or something like that, she loves for me to open it. But everyday life, she doesn't want that. That's not necessarily what I communicate love to her. So, I don't open her door. Because I'm dwelling with her according to knowledge. Now, I would suggest Pastor Surratt keep opening Mrs. Surratt's door. I would suggest that. Because apparently that's what she enjoys, right? So what does your wife enjoy? She enjoy you opening the door for her? Well, I don't know. I never ask her. That might be what you want to do, right? Figure out if that's what she enjoys and do that. That's this text is talking about that. Dwell with her according to knowledge. So habitation. But number two, it says honor here. Giving honor unto the wife. The word giving means to assign or to portion out. This word honor is the Greek word time. It's valuing by placing a price that's fixed or reverencing or showing deference. It really is about valuing her. I love what one author said, a number of them actually, I'll quote here. It is something to be settled at the marriage altar, to assign her an honor that is always to be paid and rendered to her as a fellow heir of all the graces of life. It is a divine debt to be paid by installment until death do us part. She's not very honorable. That's not the commitment. It doesn't say here giving honor unto her if she's honorable. Does it? Nope. It just says give honor to her. Another author said to honor someone is to spend time with them. If time is money and money is valuable, then to honor your wife by spending time with her is to see her value, her true worth. Few women, by the way, men, few women would find it difficult to be subject to a husband who was as courteous and considerate and who treated her like a princess. I'm not saying there's not women out there like that, but that would be rare. It says, as unto the weaker vessel. This word weaker means a feeble or an infirmed, if you will. This probably is referring to both emotional or physical weakness, not necessarily to an intellectual inferiority. It doesn't mean that she's dumber than us. Matter of fact, I know a lot of ladies are a lot smarter than a lot of men, right? But there is a weakness that's there. This vessel, this weaker vessel, is a person regarded as a holder or a receiver of something. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 3, Paul uses this: let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and the wife likewise also the wife unto the husband. The word render there means to things promised under oath. That which is due to her, that goodwill, that kindness that you've promised to her, that's what you're supposed to do. In verse 5 of that same chapter, it says, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempts you not for your incontinency, your lack of self-control. The word defraud means to rob or despoil, to keep back something that is rightfully theirs. God says we're to honor them. We're to honor them as a weaker vessel. Do you put your wife in the rightful place of honor in your life? In the rightful place. Do you put her in the rightful place of honor at work? In other words, how you talk about her at work. Do you put her in the rightful place of honor in front of the children? In front of your friends? In front of your family? How much time did you spend with her this week? How much time does she need for you to spend with her this week? I don't know how many times I've talked to men, well, talked to ladies, whose men didn't uphold honor in his own family to his wife. I tell you, men, that ought not to be the case. One time, I had a family member say something very unkind to my wife. And I looked them in the eyes and said, don't ever do that again. Are we clear? Don't ever do that again. That is my wife. It's not ever happened again. You're like, that was a family member. Yep. There's a principle called leave and cleave. She became my priority. I love my family, but they're not going to dishonor her. That's part of what this passage is saying. So habitation, honor. And he says heirs together. That's a powerful part of this verse that sometimes gets overlooked. What does it mean to be heirs together? It's a joint participation. It's the grace of life. Those who have trusted Christ as Savior. In other words, not only is she your wife, but she's your sister in Christ. We're going to spend all eternity together. That places more value on her. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. We're heirs together of the grace of life. She has value not only in the fact that she is your wife, but she is a sister in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5 says, have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, as the brethren of the Lord at Cephas? Are you helping her as a sister in Christ? That's part of what God wants us to do. We're heirs together of the grace of life. And lastly, he says, number 4, a hindrance. That your prayers be not hindered. Wow. The word be not hindered means to cut off occasion, to cut it off at the pass. In other words, I think it is very safe in this text of Scripture to say this. If you're not right with your wife, if you're not honoring your wife, if you're not dwelling with her according to knowledge, heaven is a sounding brass. you might as well not even pray. Doesn't do you any good to have a disagreement and then walk in there and try to pray. God says your prayers are going to be hindered. Keep a short account of sin. That's a good idea anyway, isn't it? Keep a short account of sin with God and with your wife. Ephesians 4 and verse 26 says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." We'll deal with it in the morning. You can deal with it in the morning if you want to, but you're disobeying God. You got a conflict and you want to wait to resolve it in the morning? The Bible says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let it go. Deal with it. Men, we're bad at wanting to put stuff off, aren't we? We don't want to talk it out. We want to just kind of put it aside. The Bible says, don't let it go. Can I tell you why? I believe one of the practical reasons why this is true. Because tomorrow is a new day. And we men compartmentalize things really, really well. And tomorrow wakes up and we got a different box that we pull out. We're going to go to work and we're going to go through the day. And we're going to act like nothing's ever happened. Matter of fact, for most of us, we probably don't even remember it happened. But she hadn't forgotten. And she's dealing with it all day long. Dwell with them according to knowledge, that your prayers be not hindered. This means that you will allow her to talk about issues without cutting her off or being done with the conversation. We're done with this conversation. You're done with the conversation or she's done with the conversation? Because there's a difference, you know. She needs to talk things through. Dwell with her according to knowledge. I'm sorry, you're sorry, everything's okay. Is that really? Well, that's not how she thinks all the time, guys. That's part of that dwelling with her according to knowledge. Is there something between you and your wife that needs to be resolved? Have you cut off conversations that you didn't want to deal with, men? What if God treated your pleas with Him the same you treated your wife's pleas? What if when you came to God and said, "God, I just need to talk to you about something," God said, "I'm done with this conversation." I don't think you'd like that too much. I don't think you'd say, "Well, okay, God, you're okay, I'm okay." We'd want to share our heart with Him. We love doing that. That's exactly what she wants to do with you. Ed Setzer, an article on ChristianityToday.com, says this: "Our sin supplants sacrifice with selfishness in our marriages. If we want to experience marriage as God created it to be, a reflection of His sacrificial love and leadership of the church, we've got to keep Him at the center of our marriages." Men, how can you treat your wife like a queen this week? How can you do that? Did you work at doing that? When's the last time you told her thank you for cooking a meal? Like, she's supposed to cook meals? Okay. You're supposed to earn a paycheck too, but don't you like her to say thanks every once in a while? Do you want to go through life with nobody ever recognizing stuff you're supposed to be doing? Do you have clean clothes this morning? Did you do them yourself or did she do them? I know you single guys are sitting here going, "I did them." I know. I can tell that in some of you. That's why we're praying for a wife for some of you. Let's look at some family time. I hope you're doing some of these things with your family. Man, how about talk to your son about how he can show his mother which is your wife, honor. Give him some specific ideas. I don't know if my son put together two and two this week, but he did that this week. I'm sure he's very grateful for that right now. Took his mother on a date, bought her a dozen roses, took her out to eat, just the two of them. By the way, he came and got my permission to do that. I'm grateful for that. There was a day when he was little that he kind of smarted off to his mom. And this is what I said to him. She was my wife before she was your mother. And don't you ever talk to my wife that way again. There was an issue with him talking to his mother that way again, but I don't want him talking to any lady that way, and especially my wife. And she's going to be my, well, I was going to say she's going to be my wife long after she's his mother, but that's not true. She's still his mother, and that's very evident all the time, right? Mamas will never get over being mamas, right? My mother still does that. She called me, how you feeling? I've been burdened about you. You sound tired. Like, she's like, spring break week at college, she's like, son, I thought this was your week off. I'm like, Mama, it was my week off from school. I still pastor a church. She goes, oh yeah, I forgot about that. It's like, talk to your son, men, about how to honor not only his mother, but the women. By the way, ladies, can I give you a little hint? Look at how that man treats his own mother. And that's probably a good reason, good thing that he's going to treat you that way. He's got a smart aleck mouth to his mother. If he treats her with disrespect, that's probably coming to you. It probably shows his view of women. Spend some time talking about why you honor your wife. If you've not been, then confess that to her and the family. Talk about that together. Husbands, if you have children in the home, get them involved. On second thought, you may not want them involved. But plan something special for your wife. You'll get that in a few minutes. That she would enjoy to show her value. Not necessarily that you would enjoy, but that she would enjoy to show her value. Plan something special this week that she would enjoy to show her that she's valuable. I've already got mine in mind. She doesn't know it yet, but I've already got it in mind. She's smiling down there and I'm not even looking at her. Isn't she? Have the children come up with at least one thing every day that they value in their mother. That's one thing. Matter of fact, some of you may not have kids in the home. Why don't you text them or call them and say, hey, this week we heard a message and we'd like to do some honoring. Why don't you just send a text message every day of one thing you honor about your mom? Husbands, write a note. Or you could do a text message to tell your wife how valuable she is. She already knows it. Right, why don't you try it again? It'd be good. Well, I've already told her that. Well, tell her again. Now, you got to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. But I can tell you, I could say some of the same things to my wife every day. She wouldn't get tired of it. It's part of this process, right? Funny story, and I'm done. My wife loves communication. Most ladies do, by the way, men. Okay, for most ladies, you can't give them too many details. Okay? Now, us men, we kind of struggle with this, don't we? I mean, we can have a 45 conversation with somebody on the phone, and we get off, and our wives say, what did they talk about? And you're like, nothing. You spent 45 minutes on the phone doing nothing? Well, that's not really what we mean, you know. How are your parents? They're fine. Okay. It took you 45 minutes to say you're fine. It's like, but that's the way we think, right? You know, how was your day? It was okay. It was good. If you ask her how her day is, if you'll stop for a minute, she'll actually tell you. Probably in detail. So this is what I did one day. I thought, I'm going to fix her. So I thought, I'm going to give her every detail I possibly can give her. And she's going to say, look, you overreacted a little bit, you know. So I decided. So when I got home that day, she said, how was your day? I'm like, it was really a good day. I started out this morning, I got out of bed, and then I took a shower, and then you fixed a really good breakfast. And I literally did that for the whole day. I got to church and put the car in park, and I got out of the church and went in my office, and I sat down and I actually checked some emails, and then I read some things in here. I did a little bit of study in it. I got through the whole day, not even really paying attention to her facial features here. She's not disgusted. When I get done, she goes, "That was incredible. Can you do that every day?" And I'm like, no. That wasn't the point. This was not supposed to work out this way, right? Men, God gives us an incredible privilege to dwell with them according to knowledge. It impacts your spiritual life, how you relate to them. Let's pray. Father, we need you. This is a sometimes impossible task, a tall task. And I pray that you would help us men. Lord, I know there's all kinds of circumstances that flow into this. But sometimes, Lord, we're just thick-headed. And we need to allow the Word of God to soften our hearts. Help us to do that. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. I want to just ask you a couple of questions. How many of you men would say, "Pastor, this week in one way or the other, whether I've always done it or whether I'm going to start this week, for whatever it is, this week I'm going to consciously communicate to my wife that I value her, either through a note, text message, something. I'm going to consciously do that this week. I'm going to communicate to her how I value her." Would you men commit to that? I'll do that this week. Just slip up your hand and put them back down. I'll commit to valuing her this week. Good. Thank you for that. I didn't see all the hands, but man, I hope you'll do that. It's really, really important for her. She needs it. And if you'll do that one thing, I think you'll see a difference in your marriage. Teach your children that as well. Let's quietly stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. Rachel's going to begin to quietly pray. Men, maybe some of you just need to come and say, "God, would you help me to be this kind of husband that was laid out in this passage, that I would dwell with her according to knowledge. I would give honor unto her. I would realize that we're heirs together of this grace that you've given to me. I don't want my prayers hindered." Men, would you come? Let God work in your heart. Do you have something in your mind that you can do already to honor her this week, men? Not real good at thinking of things. How about asking her? You could ask her, "What would you like for me to do special for you this week?" One more stanza and then we'll be done. Please be safe this afternoon. Be careful of those storms that are going to go out. And ladies, you're running out of time to buy those tickets for Saturday. By the way, we haven't